If you haven't already, inside your worship guide is a new set of message notes as we pick up with our third short series of this brand new year. Our first series, we looked at five reasons to have hope as we moved into this brand new year. The fact is, that first reason of having hope is that the Lord Jesus Christ, He chose us before we chose Him. He has been most gracious and merciful to us from the time before we were saved and to this very moment in our journey with Him. That second series we completed last week, the three mistakes we have made in facing the future, making plans without Him, and thinking that we know the future and that those things that He pointed out to us. He wanted us to be sure that as we go through this brand new year, we understand that there are going to be things that where we're going to fall down. We're going to have some failures as we move along in this new year. But failure, you need to put into your lovely minds, is that failure is not going to be final. It's not something that you're going to find that's going to stick with you. A failure is merely a way that our Heavenly Father doesn't take the opportunity to whoop our backsides. It is His opportunity to say, okay, we need more time together to sit down in our gnosko, our intimate time, and let's talk about this. How are we going to fix it? As it's already been shared this morning, the Holy Spirit is there with us all the time. And He wants us to know that we're significant to Him and He will help us going forward into this challenging new year. He will help us to be successful in the midst of it all. So as we move forward, we're going to look at seven rewards of praising God. Seven rewards for praising Him. It's interesting. We praise Him, and He's going to reward us. I don't know how you arrived this morning. I don't know if you arrived with negativity going on in your head and in your heart. But He wants to build you up this morning. This is the first two messages, or series, if you will, are supposed to be building you up messages. They're to encourage you, because life is life. And in life, we have those joyous moments, and we have those really doggone it, down times as well. But our Lord is with us through it all. So as we begin this new series, at the top, as usual, I've given you the three essential questions that will help you to dissect the message, because as I teach the message, He has given me an understanding. But I am so happy to know that you as individuals, you're going to hear that same message, but you're going to be applying it and receiving it differently in your lives, because He's got a message for you as an individual. And then if you're married, usually there's a message there for you and your spouse together as you make plans concerning your families. So as Christ followers, we build many important habits as we go forward in our journey with Christ. I have habits in my life today that I did not have when I first met Jesus many years ago. I suspect it's the same for you. But there are certain habits he really wants to emphasize in our life because they will cause us to go deeper and deeper into this relationship that he wants to have with each of us at a very personal level, individually, and at the same time, the way he can speak to a couple to do the things he wants done. So these habits are there to build up your life and mine. These prayers are things like, or these habits are things like prayer, where we talk to him, reading the scripture where he speaks to us, and having changed attitudes. Some of us have the hardening of bad attitudes, and he wants to come in and do that radical surgery where he may need to remove a stiff attitude and give you a flexible one that makes you happy and gives you hope going forward into whatever challenges you meet this coming year. Of course, all the things that I've mentioned in the last two series and begin with this morning will find their way into your Gnosko time. If you take your message notes and repeat the answers, look at those things that the Lord wants to do for you, in you, and point out the areas that might be mistakes, even though they've been pointed out over the course of the last 3 weeks, we've already begun doing the mistake again during those private times. He will help us to be changed and to be more of the new creation that he is making us into. But we must not forget this habit on which this series is based upon, and that is praising him. Praising him throughout the day. There are things that you can be thanking him for, blessing his name for throughout each and every day. It's particularly important that when we're struggling, not to find ourselves as our flesh wants to be, negative. We are children of God. Now, I know that for some of you, you've been a child of God for a really long time. And as you think about that, it's like it's moved from being a really big deal to it's just kind of come see, come saw. It's not a big deal. But to think about it, I was an enemy of God. I was a child, if you will, of Satan. That was my family. And if you knew the depth of my past, you would probably want to stay far away from me if that was still me. Some of you don't want to be close to me now, being who I am in Christ. We'll see if he wants the choice if he misses the paycheck. What do you think? So, see, there's the flesh already popping out. You know, here I am up here being just goody two shoes and Mr. Know It All down there. So, at any rate, you can tell who didn't have his DPE this morning and who did. But anyway, we're going to be going through these various trials. And as we struggle, our Lord wants us to take hold of the things he taught us in the first weeks of this year. He wants us to have that that wonderful, personal, mental, positive mental, spiritual attitude. And as many times as I've said it and given you the acrostic, I bet you there were times throughout this week where you didn't have that positive mental spiritual attitude. How many would say that that's true of your life this last week? Just five of us, huh? You know who the fibbers are in the church? You want me to name them? No. They all have initials, and you know what I do with initials. So Peter, he came alongside us in that first series, and he tried to encourage us today, just as the Jewish people were being encouraged by him when he wrote those two letters to those in the diaspora. We're going to face various trials. It's part of life. It's just the way it's going to be. So we don't have to be negative about it. He already knows about it, and he's going to be with each of us as we meet these various challenges going forward. He loves you, and he's not going to depart from you, as I'll say more about that later. There in your notes, I've given you a question. What makes praise so important for you? He wants to do things in your life. That's why praise is so important for you. Here are seven reasons the habit of praising God is vital, vital for you and your fellow GHCCers. You see, if you walk in here or on this campus anytime during the week and you're all, oh, poo-poo, and I'm mad at so-and-so about this, and did you hear what Ron said this Sunday? That's really upset me, you know? I wanted to be negative, and he said I couldn't be. Well, I'll show him. The first reward, right here, praise lifts your spirit. Praise lifts your spirit. You know, when I get out of bed in the morning.
I know Kathy told us that.
Yeah, she finked on me, huh? When I get up in the morning, I am negative. I'm negative. She's positive. And anymore, I just have to say good morning. I may not mean it, but I've got to say it because she means it. And if I'm negative, then I'm going to put a wet blanket on the beginning of her day. So once I'm up and I look in the mirror and I tell that old man in the mirror to move over so I can shave, I automatically now tell him, good morning, Lord. And he knows good is not what other people think good is, but it's better than what it used to be. And I tell him, good morning. Good morning. Look, I'm up. I'm walking. There are days in my life when I couldn't get up and walk. You know? When I got hurt as a cop, I couldn't walk for a long time without tremendous pain. Now I can get up and go look in the mirror and that's painful. But, you know, it's a different kind of pain. I can be grateful. I have a certain modicum of health. I don't have the health I had 70 years ago. But I don't have the health that my mom had. I'm not blind. I don't have dementia yet. Do you understand? We have reason to be able to get up in the morning, even if we're not morning people, and say, good morning, Lord. You see, that's a praise. That's a thank you. That's a blessing to him. If nothing else, get up in the morning. Good morning, Lord. You saved this wretched human being from going into damnation and to hell. And you have chosen to make me a son. That's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing. So praise lifts your spirit. Say that with me. Praise lifts my spirit. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, praise lifts my spirit. So praise lifts my spirit. Get it? Okay, good. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. Look there. The psalmist, David, he says, why am I discouraged? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? We can all say that to him, can't we? There are times when we just, why am I discouraged? I'm just down. Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I'm going to put my hope, my optimism, my positivity, my encouragement in God. Why would I not want to do that? Why would I not? In that first series we did, we said, I will say, thank you for this hope, this assurance that is awaiting me in this journey I have with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because I'm saying I am grateful for this optimism. I get to go through this day with you. And should I not finish this day with you, but you choose to take me to be with you in heaven, boy, what a punishment, huh? I can't tell you how many Christians I've talked to, and they act like it's a punishment. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but not yet, you know. I want to watch Poopsie graduate high school. I want to watch, you know, Foxy get married. We want anything and everything but going to be with him in heaven. What is that all about? It goes back to Gnosko family. It goes back to DPE. It's because we don't have Gnosko time that involves a deep personal experience with him. We don't know him. We know about him, but we don't know him. If we knew him, we would want to be with him. I look forward to coming to the office. Why? Because I have an office? Well, that's something to praise him for. A lot of pastors don't have their own office. But I like coming to the office because Big Mouth over here is there. And the other one back here who does a lot of talking, even if there's nobody else in the room. But they are interesting people. They are fun people. They act like they listen to me. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. They put my hope. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. I will praise him again. Here's an opportunity and an example. He's here with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for the Holy Spirit being in each of your kids. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing these folks to come. And thank you that they lifted up their voices to you today. Thank you that we have three people that make up our worship team. Thank you. I'm not going to complain about when we used to have 18 on the worship team, but these three. Thank you. Thank you for the dedication to you and to us. I want to thank you for each of those who are here. They could have chosen to go to Disneyland today. They could have chosen to be other places. But they came here to worship you. They came here to be a blessing to one another. They came here today to be a part of what you're teaching us, how to praise, how to praise. We don't get to see some of our folks all the time. They have other things that are keeping them away from joining us with you. But the one thing we all have in common is that you know the depth of their love for you. And we're here now to bless you and one another. And on, he knows we can go with this praising him because it's so wonderful to do so. There's no doubt we have a lot in our world today to be discouraged about. We have a war going on in Ukraine. We have people that are dying. We have husbands that are losing their wives. We have wives that are losing their husbands. We have parents that are losing their kids. You have little kids that are becoming orphans and losing their parents. Awful things are taking place over there. But you know, we have the same thing right out here on the street. We have all kinds of people that are sick, mentally ill. We have all kinds of people out here that were right out there on that corner, homeless, hungry, living like what they used to call gypsies, and there really are people in this world that are gypsies, and I don't mean to denigrate them. We have doctors. Did you read in the paper this morning? We have an 80-year-old MD, and he is so proud of himself because he's an abortionist. But you know, the church doesn't stand up in mass and say enough is enough with regard to the slaughter of the innocents in mama's wombs. When I go to these banquets that are coming up for our crisis pregnancy center, our whole church there. Why is our whole church not there? When we have Walk and Run for Life, why is it that I don't see our whole church there? Well, we've got other things to do. But we get ourselves all in a dither and a dither because of what's going on in Europe. But we have mass murder going on right here in the United States. The church. It's time for the church to look inside and see for themselves what need to take place on each and every one of our parts. We need to be involved in these things. And as we are demonstrating that we love him because he hates these things that are going on in the world and in our country. He hates them and he wants us to come alongside. But Psalm 42 here reminds us to both praise Father God and remember what he has done in our lives and is looking forward to continuing to do, to build us up, to give us a heart filled with joy, his eternal joy, that part of his fruit of the Spirit, that part of his character that he shares with each of us through the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be filled with his fruit. The world is looking for hope. People are looking for our HOPE, our acrostic. As Jesus followers, we know the only real reason for hope is our being part of his family and then doing the things that disciples are supposed to do. A disciple is not just a mere learner of the things that we hear our discipler telling us. It is we mimic the discipler. We go do what he is doing. That's what a disciple really is. And all of the children of God are considered disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why worship is so energizing. It makes your eyes focus elsewhere. I don't come in here and I'm not focusing on a challenge. I come in here and I'm focusing on him. I'm focusing on the Lord Jesus. I'm focusing on his dad, Abba, Papa. I come in here and I'm focusing on the Holy Spirit. My focus goes elsewhere. Where our focus goes, our energy flows. It goes differently. I'm up. When I got up this morning, I was kind of mellow and down because I'm tired at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I lost an hour on top of that. I have every reason to be down, but I'm up. I'm up because I'm in the presence of him. I am here with worshipers of our wonderful Father. Our action step, family, is the Trinity is tremendous. Would you say that with me? The Trinity is tremendous. I mean, say it like you mean it. Come on. The Trinity is tremendous. Maybe they can hear us out there. The Trinity is awesome. Got that? The Trinity is bodacious. Boy, you surfers remember that one? Boy, I do. I knew I had no idea what I was saying, but I enjoyed saying it. This is bodacious. This is excellent, is what I'm saying. This is admirable, is what I'm saying. This is attractive. That's what I'm saying by bodacious. They are grand, the Trinity. They are grand. They are good. They are great. They are the very best. So, praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. This is what should be in our hearts when we wake up in the morning and think about the Godhead, when we think about our Heavenly Father. You know, he's awesome. He's tremendous. He's bodacious. He's great, grand, good. Put all those things in there. And the rest of your body is going to follow because your spirit is going to be excited. And you're exciting him by remembering who he is and who's going to be with you the rest of the day. So the first reward, the first gift, the first blessing in praising Abba Father is it lifts our spirit. Get it? Good. It will put a damper on negative thoughts and feelings, family. Praising him will put a damper on it. It'll take away our negative attitudes. Jesus, if we will awake and think of things like this in our praising him and giving him thanksgiving, he will automatically be the exterminator that I talked about a few weeks ago. He's going to come in and he's going to wipe out those ants, those automatic negative thoughts. The second reward, praise helps you sense the Father's presence. Praise helps you sense the Father's presence. Can you say that with me? Praise will help you sense the Father's presence. Psalm 46, verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Read that aloud with me. The Lord of hosts is with us. Thank you, you who raised your voice. I cannot see the psalmist going, the Lord of hosts is with us. I mean, that's like me saying, you know, Governor Gavin is with us. I'm sorry. Psalm 46, he's saying, the Lord of hosts is with us. This is exciting. The Lord God of the armies of heaven is with you and me. Amen. Think of that. I mean, that is awesome. That is bodacious. This is so cool. But the church needs to get excited about it. The church needs to grasp this. The Lord of hosts is with us. Where you see the word us, write your name. The Lord of hosts is with Ron. If he's with Ron, why shouldn't he be with Glorita? Why shouldn't he be with Barbara? Both Barbaras. And everybody in between. The Lord of hosts is with Nina, with Elaine, with Judy. Even though she's not here this morning, she has a cold. In Psalm 46, 11. You know, you think I do a lot of things in a redundant way. So does our Heavenly Father. That's where I learned it. It was from Papa. Papa is the one that taught me to be redundant because he knows that Ron, and not only Ron, doesn't get it the first time. And in verse 11 of that same psalm, the Lord of hosts is with us. So again, change the us and put your first name in there. He is with you. He is with you. He is with Cheryl and Renee and Jackie. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it says there, and behold, I am. Who is the I am? Jesus. Jesus is saying this to you this morning. Every time you pick up this lovely love letter, he speaks to you as you read it. Aloud especially. Your ears pick it up. Your mind hears it, begins to think about it as it understands it. It's then in your spiritual heart. It changes you. It causes you to praise him because you sense his presence as you have your deep personal experience with him in the love letter. But he says, and behold, I am with you always. I'm not just with you when you're having a good time. I'm not going to just meet you when you show up at a worship center. I am with you, he says, all the time. At work, at school, at home, I am with you. I am with you. But the church has yet to grasp that and own it, because then we would praise him more and we would speak differently. We would speak to our spouses in always in loving terms, because we would see Jesus in him or in her, and we would be speaking to him but to them and treating them as we would treat him if you walked in this door right here. And then I could sit down and we would really hear something great from him. Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age, to the end of eternity. Where you see the word you, put your name. Make the living word of God come to life for yourself. He's speaking to you, and he wants you to do something about this. So I am with you always, Tanner. I am with you always, Damien. Both of you. God the Holy Spirit is always present, whether you sense him or not. He never lies. He is with us always. Psalm 23, verse 4. It's not in your notes, but it was part of my DPE this morning. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, even if I've lost my job, even if I went to the doctor and I got this rotten medical report, even if I've lost a loved one in physical death, and now they're in heaven, even if you're in the midst of an awful relationship right now with your spouse, or your kids, or your parents, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Why? Why, David? Why won't you be afraid? For you, Jehovah, Ra'ah, you, my Lord, who is my shepherd, you, my Lord, who is my Jehovah, Shalom, you who are my peace, my eternal peace, you who are my Jehovah Rapha, my healer, the Lord who is my healer. You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. It's the same for you, the same for me, but we understand that? Do we grasp that in our gnosko time with him? Sometimes we don't feel his presence. For a week and a half after my son being summoned home to heaven, I didn't feel his presence. Why didn't I feel his presence? The truth of the matter is, I didn't want to. I didn't want to. I was mad and deeply hurt. Sometimes we don't feel his presence, but that's because we've moved away from him. He hasn't been the one to move away from us. You know, when I was a teenager, we didn't have bucket seats in our cars. We had bench seats in the front and in the back. The only people that had bucket seats were the people that owned like a 1953 Corvette or T-Bird. They were the only ones that had bucket seats. Rest of us, we had bench seats, and we didn't have seat belts either. It's amazing that I lived. But as you're driving along with your left hand on that steering wheel, back in those days, and you have your chick over here, you know. That's so true. So, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. She'd be sitting here. That was so cool. Kathy was the last one to be sitting here. But then what happens after you're married? All of a sudden, it isn't that you got bucket seats, still driving the same car. She's over here by the passenger door. And now I've got both hands on the wheel. Why have I got both hands on the wheel? Because she told me to put both hands on the wheel. And as we're driving along, she sees, here's a couple in front of us. And she said, isn't that sweet? Look at them. They're sitting right there close together. And so she said, that is so sweet. And I said, you like that? She says, yeah. I didn't move. Jesus hasn't moved, family. Amen. He hasn't moved. He is so very good. He put up with my selfishness, my self-promotion, my arrogance for that week and a half. Not just that week and a half, other times too. And then I got it. I needed to get back where I needed to be with him. I needed to be close. I needed him speaking back into my life. I needed to get his love again from his love letter and not take offense if he pointed out some sin in my life, because he's pointing it out because he loves me and he died for me. He died for that sin in my life. And he's crazy about me, which is amazing, wonderful, bodacious. Action step, family. When you don't feel the Lord's presence, it's when you need to praise him the most. Most people, I won't say all, but most people, when they go through what Kathy and I went through in saying goodbye to Ronnie, they stay home, right? They stay home. They don't come to church. They don't want to be with the church family. More importantly, they don't want to be here and they don't want to be praising him. They want to be away. They're being selfish. Kathy and I came every week. And it was horrible. Absolutely horrible watching you guys come up to us and love us and hug us and tell us, I got nothing. Nothing I can say. Because there isn't anything you can say. But you've done it. You came up and you hugged us. You loved on us. Just by being present. And that's how some of my DPEs went for a little while. We really didn't talk much. Oh, there was something going on up here in my brain that he could hear me in, but there wasn't the out loud messages going back and forth from his word to me or from my mouth to his hearing. But I was sitting in his presence, having him near, knowing that he's there, even though I don't really feel him, and I didn't want to necessarily feel him. But he was there, and he is here, and he's never left me, and he's never left Kath, and he's never left any of you who are truly his. In Psalm 140, verse 13, the psalmist says, Surely the righteous will praise your name. Are you righteous? You've been made righteous through the blood of the Lamb that we sang about? Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live in your presence, even if we don't sense his presence. But if we praise him, we will sense his presence, and we will feel uplifted as well. These are rewards that he has for his kids, because he's crazy about you. Absolutely crazy about you. It's a wonderful blessing to move throughout the day sensing our Lord's presence with us and lifting up our spirits. Get it? Good. Number three, praise enlarges, hopefully, your desire to be here next Sunday so I can share it with you. We'll move on with these seven wonderful rewards that the Lord has for you and for him who insulted me today. I love him, and I love you.
Love you too, brother.
Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Abba, we thank you so much for standing ready. Even if we don't sense you, you don't lie. You never have, you never will. And you promise to be with us always, even to the end of eternity. So we are thrilled that the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the mighty armies of heaven, this Father of the Son of God, that the Son of God and the Holy Spirit are constantly walking with us. And you want us to know more about you and to speak these praises, these words of thanksgiving in your hearing. So, Father, as we are closing here this morning, we thank you for being here today. Thank you so much. Thank you for loving on us. Thank you for giving us this love letter. Thank you for speaking clearly from this love letter into our hearts, our minds. Thank you for bringing those of us who make up this church family here that are here today. Thank you for bringing each one. I thank you for the praise that they have offered you. I thank you, Father, for the blessings you're going to give and have already begun giving to each of my brothers and sisters who are here today. Father, we are so grateful that Jesus was willing to go to the cross for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross for us individually. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this blessed Holy Spirit who puts up with this, who even though some of us have quenched him, you stand ready as they begin to praise you. For him to, not though he were dead, but for him to his energy to come to life again in your brothers and sisters who are gathered here and who have quenched him. Those, Father, who have hurt his feelings, doesn't keep him away, but he keeps coming back. He never leaves. There's nothing we can say or do that it will make him say, I'm done with you, Ron. I'm done with you. I'm leaving, never coming back. That's not in your vocabulary, Father. Thank you. Thank you. So, Father, come alongside my brothers and my sisters who right now are in the midst of a challenge, a big one. Help them to sense your presence there. And might they, Father, right now, ask you to forgive them for their arrogance, the sin of arrogance, for staying away from you. Ask them, Father, to confess and to repent. That the two of you can get really close together again in your deep personal experience time. May this be the beginning of a super great, the best year in the journey that my brothers and sisters have ever had in their walk with you. May this year and taking these first three series become the practice of our lives. That we are radically changed from who we are even now in Christ to who you want us to be by the end of the year. May we, Father, take these three series that we've been in thus far and apply them in our lives in such a way that you can use each and every single one of us to become blessings in the lives of other people in our church family who irregularly come. Help us to be blessings in the lives of people who never come. They don't know you yet. Father, might you have each of us ask 20 other people to join us on Good Friday and on Resurrection Sunday. It'll take 20 people to even see one or two show up. So, Father, may we offer to bring them, that they might hear the gospel that saves souls, that we would be the blessing in their life and you would allow a blessing in our life to see a friend at least hear the gospel, if not in point of fact, receive the message in their hearts and confess and repent and receive you as their master and savior. Please, Father, I ask these things. I hope my church family is asking these things in the wonderful, saving, redemptive name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.